All right, welcome to the Sports Entertainment Spectator Podcast. It's Keegan Dimitrovic and Sammy Kalaf, as you know. And today we're going to talk about the horror show at Extreme Rules, which I don't know why they call it a horror show in the middle of July. Would be more suited for October, in my opinion, but whatever. My eyes, this was indeed a horror show, and my eyes can't unsee what I freaking watched last night. So, but then again, that's every 2020 WWE pay-per-view, and this was no different. Not the worst pay-per-view of the year, but definitely not great either.
Like, you know, Extreme Rules this year wasn't exactly great, but it's not the worst pay-per-view they've done, but it was definitely, like, well, it went down after the I versus I match. Like,
we'll get to that.
Yeah. So, anyway, we start out with the tables match, which was a pretty good match. I always like tables matches for some reason. I thought the finish was pretty cool too. Like, I just felt like they had to give the titles off the New Day, and Cesaro has a belt finally after so long. Like, you know, the last time Cesaro had a title was when it was when he was teaming with Sheamus, I think.
Yeah, yeah, with the bar. Yeah.
Yeah, and now he's a tag team champion again, and he really should be a singles champion. And how in the hell have they not pushed him?
Am I the only one that thinks these two should be a babyface team, though?
They should be.
I just think they should.
Like Cesaro and Tyson Kidd.
I would have Cesaro and Nakamura be a babyface team, but that's just me. This was a good match. It was a lot of fun. I love the spot where Kofi did the tope and ran into the table.
Yeah.
That was a good spot, and I thought the finish was fantastic. I give them 3 stars. Thought it was really well done. You know, and usually, like, I know you're a fan of tables matches, but for me, like, tables matches can be good. They can either go really good or really bad, and this one was good. But for anyone who really likes tables matches, I'd watch Sabu and Taz against the Public Enemy from Double Tables 95. It's probably the best tables match I've seen. I thought it was fantastic. I kind of wish that for this match, they would have used the both members of the team must go through the table rule. If they were going to go a little bit longer, then I'm assuming they would have done that. But this was still good for what it was.
I even thought Cena and Rollins from TLC 2014 was a pretty good tables match too.
It's another underrated tables match. The only thing I wish is for some, like, for tag team tables matches, is that they would have both people go through the table. But still, that finish with Kofi was awesome. So,
yeah, I mean, just nothing but positive things to say about this match.
I think if they would have won another 10 minutes, they probably would have hit the 4-star range.
I gave it 3 stars.
That's what I did too. But this was good, and they didn't need to go longer, but if they did, probably would have been even better. But still, it was a good way to start the show. And then we have Bayley against Nikki Cross for the SmackDown Women's title. Not bad. But definitely felt like a typical SmackDown match.
I mean, Nikki Cross is a good competitor. I mean, I like what she did in the match. She did, like, well, I think her in-ring stuff is pretty good, and she's underrated as well. I just wish they'd unleash the sanity Nikki Cross instead of teaming with Alexa Bliss, because personally, I don't like the team at all. And it's just like, I just think that Cross could really, like, go out on her own and just, they should just showcase her abilities. I mean, she can do a lot of stuff, and she proved that in this match. And she's, I think, well, she did prove to everybody here that she can be a contender for the title in the near future, and she did, like, and I thought Bayley did well in this match too, but, you know, the finish is, like, you know, like you said, what we would see on SmackDown.
Right. I give them 2.75. It was solid, but I just...
Yeah, that's what I gave it.
Man, finishes can really ruin a match.
That's what I gave it, 2.75.
So it was solid, but definitely the ending screamed SmackDown. So it's like, not bad. I think Bayley's run's been good. I think Bayley and Sasha have been the only valid points of watching SmackDown. So I can't wait until this feud happens, but I don't know. We've been waiting how long? 3 years now? For this feud to happen, so hopefully it happens soon, and then they can maybe call up Rhea Ripley and then build off around those three. So, but no, I love Bayley's run. It's one of the high points of the product right now, and yeah, I don't think she should drop it anytime soon. So
Bayley and Sasha are carrying the whole women's division right now because, you know, Charlotte's gone and Becky's gone and everybody else is like, well, Asuka's doing good, but they really ruined her momentum last night. It was,
yeah, we'll get to that one too. But but no, this wasn't a bad match either, but yeah, it served its purpose. But I want to get to this. So WWE decides to throw MVP and Bobby Lashley out to the ring, both in their gear, and MVP apparently wins the United States Championship by forfeit because they said Apollo Crews was injured from something that happened last month, yet he competed since then, and they wanted to cover up that he tested positive for a COVID test, apparently. Apparently he tested positive. That's what I heard. So that's why they wrote it off here. Why would you even... If you're not even going to just address it, then why would you even throw MVP and Lashley out there? Which made no sense.
I heard that he was one of the guys that tested positive for COVID. So that's a... Well, I do wish him well if that's true. Because, well, I mean, I thought that they could have... Like, I thought they could have done this on Raw if it was, like... I mean, if they had to do the forfeit thing, but I'm pretty sure they'll follow up on that tonight on Raw.
And can they just bring back the old U.S. title? There was nothing wrong with it.
Ugh. And bring back the other Intercontinental title, too. Because, like, you know, if I was... God, just put me in charge right now. I would redesign every single title. Bring back the old U.S. and Intercontinental title designs and redesign... Like, the rest of the titles. I mean, not the NXT titles. I think those are
all of the world titles on the main roster, from men to women, look the exact same. Like, yeah, they're the exact same thing.
And you know what? I would just merge the women's division, put them on Raw, and put the tag division on SmackDown.
You know what? I had a lot of people disagreeing with me on Twitter about that. But the thing is, I don't think the women's division is... I don't think the women's or tag team divisions are stacked enough to have two different separate titles. I think, like you said, put the tag team on SmackDown and then put the women's on Raw. Because the women...
619-048.
Yeah. Like, the women's division definitely could use just one division, and the tag team division could too, because, like, the Raw and SmackDown tag titles don't really mean anything. And it's like, I don't think they need two women's world titles right now, especially, one, Becky Lynch is out, and two, Charlotte's out, but also too, when they come back, you can always kind of have one champion and then rotate the opponents, so you don't have the same rivalry going on for ages.
Yeah, and you know, I really think that I did pitch the idea to someone that they should just merge the divisions all together, and they say no women on SmackDown, and
I would put the women on Raw. And put the tag team on SmackDown.
Put the women on Raw and the tag division on SmackDown, and bring back the Cruiserweight division and put that on SmackDown.
That's what I would do too, because, like, I just find WWE has way too many titles. Way too many titles. And, well, this matchup next wasn't for a title, but instead it was for an eye, which was weird. But I still don't get this stipulation. I thought this stipulation was ridiculously stupid. I feel like this is something you would have saw in WCW 2000, if I'm... You know,
this match also had a WCW 2000 type finish.
Like, I don't know what to think of this match. I honestly don't. I don't know what to think of it, because they didn't, like, from an in-ring perspective, it wasn't bad, but the rest of it was a dud. Like, it was terrible. So it's like, I have no idea how to rate this match. Like, because it's just so difficult to rate, because from a technical standpoint, they were fine. But also, too, I feel like this eye for an eye thing should never be visited again. Never. This was awful. And they don't even announce a regular Extreme Rules match on this card. And this match could have probably used it. I wouldn't have minded if they would have done an Extreme Rules match, and towards the end of the match, one of them tries to do the eye spot on the steps. But that shouldn't have been the ending of the match. And, you know, what happened after the match wasn't needed either, so I don't know. I gave this match 1.25. And the only reason why it gets 1.25 is on the star rating scale, the 1.25 goes to the in-ring work, because the rest of this was awful.
Yeah, I thought the in-ring action and storytelling was fine, but that ending wasn't like...
An ending can really ruin a match, man.
I even tweeted about that. Like, I don't know what to think of this match. Like, you know, I thought the action was fine, but I'm kind of in the middle of this one because the ending, like, the puking wasn't necessary, and fuck, they use a fake eyeball.
That was CGI, the puking spot. I can guarantee you that.
No, it was legit, actually. Like, he had some, like... I don't know what that was. It was like, I don't know, but it wasn't necessary. It just wasn't.
And they had like a fake gag eyeball, you know, and it's like, just, this is stupid, man. Like, it's, and I'm trying to not bury the company, but like, come on, man. Like, I think we could all agree that this is ridiculously cheesy and ridiculously stupid.
I did see a tweet earlier that WWE is WCW 2000, and I'm like, yeah, I agree with that.
They've become what they competed against. That's what they become. And it's like, this match is a prime example. You're telling me that Seth and Rey, for as good as they are in the ring, need any stipulation whatsoever? You could have threw these guys out at Backlash in a singles match and it would have been fine. You could have threw these two at Backlash in a singles match and it would have been good. And then you could have done an Extreme Rules match tonight. And it would have been fine. Because it should have been an Extreme Rules match. I don't think it should have been this eye for an eye thing. And like, I wouldn't have minded if they would have tried the eye spot on the steps again, you know, but then one of them reverses it or whatever. But like, I thought this sucked, you know? Like, and it wasn't their fault because the in-ring stuff was fine. But overall, I think it sucked. And this is something that you can go back on, watch 20 years ago in WCW 2000 and go, yep, we're revisiting this. This sucked. And I think both competitors are great, but this sucked.
Did they actually write off Rey Mysterio?
I don't think. I think they're writing him off until he resigns. That's what I think this is.
Yeah, because as of today, he has not re-signed to a new contract, and I believe he can make a final decision here because he did agree to finish off the storyline, and then he'll make a decision, so... They're probably going to keep him off TV for now until they agree with some sort of new deal, but I don't think he's leaving personally. I think he'll stay with WWE.
I think Seth needs time off. I do.
You know, Seth will get time off by the time Becky has a baby, and Seth will probably not come back until maybe WrestleMania or something.
Yeah, I mean creatively too. It's just, I don't think there's anything there right now. This feud sucked the life out of both of them, I think. Because I haven't been a fan of this feud at all. It just hasn't clicked to me. But because these two should be having matches over 4 stars on pay-per-view. These two should. But they had to gimmick it up, and it didn't need to be gimmicked up.
Also, no doubt, if it wasn't for the pandemic and WWE has crowds, there's no doubt they would be like this anyway, if not worse. It's like... I don't know, really. And besides, it makes me really sad to think about the fact that AEW would be expanding left and right now. They would have went to many countries by now, and WWE would be like this anyway.
It makes me sad that they're this, that they have this stacked of a roster, and yet they're at their all-time worst. That's what
they are.
That's what makes me sad.
And people have been telling me they've been worse before with, like, Katie Vick. Yes, that was a bad storyline, but I thought that 2004 was a good...
But that was one bad storyline. WWE has had how many bad storylines since 2017?
A lot.
Then that's the, like, point.
You have this stacked of a roster, yet you're at your all-time worst. And besides, I've had people telling me I love what they're doing. No, I hate what they're doing.
Like, look, man, you're gonna run into bad storylines here and there, but how do you do it this consistently week after week, month after month?
WWE, without a doubt, has, like, consistently had, like, terrible finishes throughout every single match. Like, you know, I thought that, I didn't like it at all.
I get it. Some storylines aren't going to work, and some things are going to have no chemistry. But to keep being this bad is, like, a trend. Like, I don't understand it, you know? It's like, yes, you're going to run into bad storylines, and yes, you're going to run into things that aren't going to work the way you think they're going to work, you know, storyline-wise. But it's like the Katie Vick thing. 2002 was WWE, maybe WWE's best year. But that was one bad storyline. But look at the rest of it. How many bad storylines were after that? None. So it's like, I understand that there's going to be bad storylines every once in a while, but to have bad storylines like this pay-per-view after pay-per-view and Raw after Raw and SmackDown after SmackDown, it's an issue. It's definitely an issue, and it's been like this for a while. So it's like, also, I don't understand it.
Also, about Rey Mysterio, I'm just reading now that it's been, like, he asked Vince McMahon for a raise, and Vince McMahon turned him down on that because of the pandemic. So it could be, well,
I don't think anybody's going to get a raise right now regardless.
No, nobody will. And besides, they're going to keep him off TV until the contract has been dealt with. So that's what they're doing now. So it looks like they wrote him off last night.
This was awful. Like, it was awful.
I don't know. And besides, people are telling me Raw is good. I mean, like, Raw's still boring. And besides, it's not at the standards we want it at. It's just...
it's not at the standard it should be at. Because right now, WWE should be generating 3 to 4 million viewers weekly.
It should be their all-time best. And with the roster they have, and they're... like, besides, if... you know, lately WWE's been, you know, stale, and just the shows haven't been, like, entertaining like previous years. And besides, I mean, the only reason why I still watch is because I'm a huge fan, and some of my favorites are still there. And I did tell you this last night. Like, no, I told you this last night. It was like AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins, Randy Orton, Edge, and like all those guys. And, you know, even Rey Mysterio as well. And besides, like, if AJ wasn't in WWE, then I would probably not be watching right now, I think. But let me tell you the truth here. The only reason why people like AEW so much is because WWE is that bad. It's really bad.
I mean, I would still like AEW regardless, but it wouldn't be as hot as it is without it.
Like, let's say WWE is at their all-time best right now, then nobody would be talking about AEW. Nobody would. Besides, if it's, like, WWE should be in front of everybody else, even New Japan, in terms of match quality, storytelling, and everything. Yet, they are very consistent at the most terrible finishes you could possibly imagine. And this match had the WCW 2000 type finish. And it was just... God, it was awful. Besides, the pay-per-view just went down from here. It went down.
And speaking of going down, we're going to review now the Raw Women's Championship match. And yes, Sasha Banks is on SmackDown challenging for the Raw Women's title, which I don't understand, but whatever, it is what it is. This was a really good match, minus one or two botches in the ending. Other than that, it was a great match.
This is an NXT match, and this was a typical WWE ending. I know Adam Blompé tweeted this out.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, I'm like, this is true. And besides, that finish was bad. The match was good up until Sasha botched the knee diving finisher, like when she slipped on the rope. I think that's when the match went down, and then the finish happened. Besides, I thought this was gonna be like a typical Eddie Guerrero type ending, because you know Sasha looked up to Eddie Guerrero as a kid, and it just got confusing as Bayley just put the referee shirt on and they actually gave her the win there. I'm like, the hell is this?
So it was a really good, well-wrestled match until the last 5 or 6 minutes. And then it just went downhill. So, Sasha botched jumping off the turnbuckle for like, a Meteora she was going for. And, it just didn't work. And she tried. I think she was going for the Meteora, if I'm not mistaken. And then her knee just gave out, and then they botched that. But you know what happens. And then the ending, like the last 5-6 minutes of this match were whatever, but the first 15 minutes of it were good. I gave them 3 3/4. If they would have had a decisive ending and maybe not botched that, I probably would have gave them at the least 4 stars. But I gave them 3 3/4 here. If they would have done it better, if the last 5 minutes would have been better, this definitely would have been higher.
Besides, I gave Mysterio and Rollins match 2.5 stars, and I gave this one, yeah, I gave it the same rating. Like, I think it was 3 stars or 3.75. So
yeah, I gave them 3.75, and it would have been 4 stars or 4.25 had the last 5 minutes would have been better.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Besides, it was what it was. It was well wrestled though.
Matches like this without an actual crowd just kills it. Besides that, it's hard to rate matches nowadays because, you know, you don't have that, and it's just like it's sad really. But
so I guess Sasha Banks won, or it's a no contest. I don't know. I guess we'll find out tonight.
Either way, they killed Asuka's momentum, and they've been like, you know, they've screwed Asuka.
If you wanted a no contest, why didn't you just have them pin each other at the same time or get each other counted out? If you really wanted a no contest, that seems logical. But or have Asuka get herself disqualified, have like Sasha do something to piss Asuka off, and then Asuka gets DQ'd or something. I don't know. It would have been better than this. Because this was like whatever, but I don't know. It was what it was. But we can talk about Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler. So for the WWE title, so we didn't know what the stipulation was until Dolph came out, and it was an Extreme Rules match only for Dolph Ziggler. So basically, Dolph would have won the title anyway. So basically, they proved to you tonight that Dolph Ziggler, no matter any advantage or any circumstances, cannot win a freaking match. There you go.
Dolph Ziggler, as of this point, is creatively done. He cannot come back from this. He just can't. He cannot come back from this. Dolph Ziggler should have been at the top. Should have been their top star for several years, yet they didn't do anything with him. Dolph is just, as of now, like, there's nothing left for him.
I knew he wasn't going to win the title tonight, but if they would have done just a regular Extreme Rules match, it probably would have been fine. But this proved tonight that they do not want you to believe in this guy, and that he's never going to win anything. So, but that's pretty much been the career of Dolph Ziggler not winning. So, wasn't a bad match. It wasn't terrible. But, I mean, I think we all knew the result.
Like,
the ending was awesome, though. That kip up Claymore was really good. But
yeah, it was. And besides, Ziggler is like, well, how many people are going to believe in Ziggler now? Besides, the guy's been... he's been booked badly for the past 4 years. And, like... he hasn't done anything since. It's just... you know... you put Dolph Ziggler in any other promotion, and he would be their top star. Like...
Dude, this guy should have been in the same spot Seth's been in since he came up to the main roster. The exact same spot.
The exact same.
Like, I'm not saying demote Seth. I'm just saying he should have been at the same spot as him. The exact same. Because I think he's just as good as him, if not better. So it's like, it's the one thing I never got, you know? So it's like, I don't get why they never saw anything in him. Because I do. And I have. But I don't... I don't know what it is that they never saw with him, so...
like, it's just... I mean, as of now, I think, well, Drew's title run has been good, and the match itself wasn't too bad, but, you know, Dolph Ziggler had, like... Dolph Ziggler has every advantage to win the title, and yet he didn't win.
I don't want to say he's done, but man, I don't know. It wasn't a bad match, but the ending for golf is done. So I don't know, man. They had years and years and years and years to pull the trigger on this guy, and they never did. And I have no idea why they didn't. But I mean, I guess the only thing left maybe is a babyface underdog story. If they want to go that route, I guess maybe that's the only thing left, depending on how it's received. But that's it, if even.
Like,
he might have one underdog story left, and that's it.
That's probably all that's left, and I know they won't do it. But
no, I would have done it 10 years ago, but, I mean, what do I know?
As of now, it's just not gonna, like, I don't know. All I know is that Dolph Ziggler is just...
Oh, and if you're wondering, I gave the match 3.25.
Yeah, that's what I gave it.
Because it wasn't bad, but, you know. They had some good sequences, yeah. But... I mean, I also think... I don't think Drew should drop the title yet either. I know a lot of people are saying he should drop it to Randy. I don't think so. I don't think Randy needs the title. I think Drew could use it more right now.
Yeah. I mean, we know Edge is going to come back eventually. And
I say Edge will be back between September and November.
And he'll fight Randy again.
Yeah, probably in Hell in a Cell. That's probably what their plan is right now. I'm assuming what their plan right now is that Randy is going to face Drew at SummerSlam, and two things are going to happen. Either one, Randy's going to win the title and then face Edge for the title, or Edge is going to cost Randy the title at SummerSlam. That's what I'm thinking right now. It depends on how severe Edge's injury is, because there hasn't been a timetable on it. But, you know, it depends on the athlete, because it could take from 3 months to 6 months, depending on how they recover. So, you know, I'm assuming he's going to be back at the latest, he'll be back by November. But what I'm thinking is that, yeah, he'll probably cost Randy the title at SummerSlam if he's almost cleared, and then that'll lead, and then they can build up, because I'm assuming Hell in a Cell is going to be in early October or mid-October. So if Edge is due to be back by the end of September, I'm assuming they'll just have him come out and cost Randy the title at SummerSlam. So since it's near the end of August, and then they could build to that for the next month or so, I guess. Or they can just have Randy win the title and then leave Drew in limbo, and then Edge can take the title from Randy. I don't know. I'm thinking that's what their plan is right now. But then what do you do with Drew McIntyre after that?
Like,
because Edge and Randy don't really need the title.
Like, you know, it's kind of hard.
And I would rather see Edge win the title with a crowd there.
Yeah.
So.
Besides, they're booking themselves into a corner with this one.
Well,
if that's the plan they're going in.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking the plan is. But what I would do is I would have Drew and Randy at SummerSlam. It's a big time match. Have Edge cost Randy the match. And then Drew can go and feud on, I don't care. He can go back and feud with Bobby Lashley again. I don't care. Or feud with Kevin Owens or something. And then what happens there is then Edge and Randy can do Hell in a Cell to have their blow off. Edge wins. And then Drew either drops the title eventually to Kevin Owens or Aleister Black, and then Edge and Kevin Owens for the title. Edge can win the title and then put over somebody else after.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, that's kind of what I would do, because I would probably have Drew drop the title to Kevin Owens, and then Kevin Owens can feud with Edge, which would be good. Edge wins, and then maybe Edge puts over like Aleister Black or something. I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah.
That's something I would do, but, I mean, it depends on what your tastes are. Because I think either Black or KO should beat Drew for the title. Because I think that would make the most sense. And I also want to say, why the hell was Murphy and Kevin Owens on the pre-show or kickoff?
There was no build to the match besides it should have been on the main show.
But two guys this caliber? Like, I'll give you an example. At Hell in a Cell last year, they didn't even bother to announce a card, and they announced Corbin and Gable like right on that day, and they put them on the main show. But they can't hear.
Yeah.
So I don't get that. But you have two guys this talented, and they're on the freaking kickoff. I don't know what to think of that. Why didn't they just put the MVP segment on the kickoff? That would have made more sense.
Yeah. So it's two caliber guys like this shouldn't be on the pre-show at all.
I don't even know what to think of this company right now. I just don't know. I'm trying not to.
And here we have the swamp match.
You know what? A lot of people hated this match. I'm not. I can't say I hated it.
It wasn't bad.
I'm not saying I loved it, but I'm not saying I hated it. Like, I didn't think it was brutally bad. I mean, the Fiend stuff at the end, whatever. It is what it is, but, I mean, I thought this was fine. Strowman's acting skills might need work, but this is probably the best piece of storytelling he's told. So, I mean, gets a thumbs up from me. Wasn't that bad. I'm not going to rate it because it wasn't really a match, but... But it wasn't bad. I mean, like, I kind of hope Bray does keep the cult leader gimmick and they have, like, the three faces of Bray. That's
what they should have.
And, like, have, like, the Funhouse Bray pick which Bray's going to go wrestle, I guess. I think that would be kind of cool. But I didn't really care for the Fiend coming out at the end. I just would have had the cult leader Bray just take him down, in all honesty, but... I don't think the Fiend was needed here, but that's just my opinion.
They're going to have the Fiend and Strowman at SummerSlam, I think.
And I could not care less.
And they're going to have the Fiend take back the title.
And I could not care
less. You know, anyone is better than Braun at this point. Braun's run has sucked.
I would honestly have AJ just hold both fucking titles right now.
That'd be nice.
Like, just both. Just have AJ. You know what? They've done it before. Why can't they do it again?
How about Brocky 2 belts?
AJ 2 belt sounds better. There you go. Like, have AJ be the Intercontinental Champion and the Universal Champion. I don't care. And then AJ and Daniel Bryan can feud for the Universal Championship, and then AJ can drop the Intercontinental title to Matt Riddle, and then Matt Riddle can feud with John Morrison for the Intercontinental title. That's what I would do, but I don't know. They probably think I'm an idiot. They probably think I'm some dumb mark, so I don't know. But that's what I would do. And then end this freaking Sheamus and Jeff Hardy garbage.
Is that going to happen on SmackDown?
Yeah, it was. They were scheduling it for tonight, but then they moved it to SmackDown last week, I believe. So, yeah, hopefully Jeff Hardy just wins that, and then they end that, and then move on.
That feud is horrible.
Maybe Jeff Hardy can feud with AJ Styles for the Intercontinental title. Or Jeff Hardy can just take the Universal title from The Fiend. I don't know. Jeff Hardy turns in the Willow, maybe, and just wins the Universal title from The Fiend. I think that would be cool, but...
Yeah. So...
But I also don't think they're going to make The Fiend a transitional champion, but...
No, The Fiend will hold it for a while.
And I don't want him to. What's worse, another Fiend reign or Strowman?
Besides, they killed The Fiend already, and putting the title on him isn't going to do anything.
Because I don't care less about The Fiend anymore. They killed it within, like, 3 months, when you think about it.
Like, it's just bad. It's just really bad. And besides, it's... Well, Bray Wyatt's a creative genius, and he showed that once again last night, but, you know, just have the three faces of Bray, and he'll be fine.
That's what I would do. I would just do three faces of Bray. That would be cool, but... But, like...
Just have him enter the Royal Rumble next year and just have all three characters in the Rumble, like, fully.
That would be cool. That would be cool, but I don't know... Like, I mean, that's what I would do, but I don't know if they would ever think of that. But, like, I just... Man, I just don't want to... It's so hard to watch this product right now. Like, it's really hard to watch. Even if you're a diehard, you could admit it's hard to watch.
I don't think the diehards would admit it, because that's not what I saw last night, but it's like...
There was a couple that on my post that admitted it.
You said that... I know you tweeted out that WWE's like WCW 2000.
It is. And it is. If you look at the creative, yeah, it's just as bad. It's not easy to watch. If WWE did not have... great financials, they would be screwed right now. They would go down.
Obviously, they're at their best financially. It's just...
Creatively, they're not.
Oof. but
like this is brutal, just, dude. Like, and I'm not even exaggerating. Like, I'm a diehard fan of pro wrestling, but this, even me as a fan, and I watch wrestling every day of my life, this is hard to watch.
This is the worst WWE has ever been.
They got sit. They got to sit Vince down, man. They just do. They got to sit
him
down.
Have the Undertaker sit him down. Besides, the Undertaker saved WWE once. He can do it again.
Do it again. Yeah. It just is what it is. Like, I mean, they really need to sit him down and just go, listen, it's time. And I'm not trying to sound like one of those typical anti-WWE people, you know, who like to say that, but I truly mean this. Like, they need to sit Vince down and go, you gotta stop. You gotta stop. Because if you don't...
The only man Vince McMahon would listen to is The Undertaker, because the guy has been with Vince for 30 years, and he never left his side, not once. And that's the man he trusts the most, so he would listen to him. Just have The Undertaker set him down one day and just tell him, you're cooked. You are officially done. Like, the shows have not been
entertained. He's been done for a while, but... He's been done for a while, but the thing is, it's like, now it's like really starting the show. It's really like, starting the show now, where he's at.
And it's a sad state, too, because, you know, it's just... I don't know. It's just WWE is at an all-time low now.
Like, I hate burying the company, but it's like, man, like, how can you defend this product? Like, how can you defend it? There's nothing to defend. Like, there's absolutely nothing in this product that I can defend right now.
Nothing.
I can't defend it because of the pandemic, because it would be the same thing even without the pandemic. You know, and they've been making these really bad creative decisions the last while, and it's like, I can't defend it because it's a consistent trend, dude, like, of just bad creative decision after bad creative decision, and it just doesn't end, man. It doesn't end, you know, and it's like, it's really like exhausting as a fan to watch, because you're watching a replay of the same thing every week, or you're watching something that's so painfully bad that you can't watch it.
You know, the reason why I still watch WWE is because I told you this before, and besides, I believe in the product getting better. And besides, I've been saying this since WrestleMania 33, and I thought 2016 things were starting to pick up, and then it went down after WrestleMania 33. Besides, as much as the days go by, like, you know, I'm just losing hope for change, and it looks like it's not going to be that way. Besides,
they peaked in 2016 and early 2017, and then after WrestleMania, they fell apart.
Besides, the booking, it's only going to take a few more bad booking decisions for me to stop completely. And besides, if I wasn't tweeting about WWE now, then my account would be exclusively for AEW and New Japan. That's it. And it's only going to take me a few booking decisions for me to stop. Besides, I might even post out a tweet if that really bad thing happens one day. And I would just say, I hate WWE with every fiber of my being. No promotion has left enough hatred in my heart.
I don't stop because I have faith that it can get better, and I'm just waiting for it to get better, but I don't know if it's going to get better. That's the problem. It's like, I keep thinking, okay, the product's going to get better. Just wait. Just WWE, wait until it gets better, and then, like, it just doesn't.
WWE is not even the best promotion of all time.
No, I mean, maybe the most popular, but they're not the best.
No, they're not even the best promotion of all time. The best promotion of all time is probably All Japan Pro Wrestling. And that's coming from, like, you know, a guy who's been watching Japanese wrestling for years, and they were very consistent throughout the 80s and the 90s. And besides, in terms of match quality and the storytelling, All Japan is probably the best of all time, next to 2010's New Japan. And WWE's been inconsistent throughout their whole history, and they've had, like, you know, they had the Attitude Era, and 1997 was a pretty good year for them. And 2000, 2001, 2002, 2007, and 2016, those were all their good years.
They're lucky that the Attitude Era peaked, because if the Attitude Era not peaked, they would have been in WCW's position. Definitely.
Besides, If WWE folded in 97 or 98, WCW would have folded anyway, and there would be, like, Impact would be...
TNA would have been the top one, but I don't know how popular they would have gotten either. But I still think Vince would have went and restarted a new promotion.
If Vince restarted as, like, they would have came back as WWE, I bet.
Oh, yeah. If WWF would have collapsed in 97, 98, they would have came back as WWE, definitely. He wouldn't have went down. He would have came back.
Yeah, he would have.
He doesn't accept failure, so he would definitely restart another promotion.
He would definitely. And besides, I don't know how popular, like, you know, WWE would still be popular. And besides, it's just... I don't know. They would still get that audience back, but, you know, it's just, like, I don't know where, like, you know, Austin would still be there, maybe The Rock would still be there, and besides, maybe some of the stars would have left for WCW, and then WCW would later collapse.
Austin, Rock, Triple H, and Undertaker all would have stayed.
And the rest would have probably left for WCW.
I think most people would have left, but I think those four definitely would have stayed. I think Jericho would have probably stuck around, too, if Jericho would have came in around that time. Because Jericho would have left WCW either way. So Jericho would have probably went there, too. But, no, they're just... Now it's like... like, they're not going to fold, obviously. But, like, if you look at AEW right now, you look at New Japan and stuff like that, it's like you really... Did they really need to reassess their product badly? Like, because it's bad.
They have to. It's just, if it wasn't for the pandemic, they would be like this anyway, if not worse. Besides, the crowd wouldn't do anything, and besides, the storylines would still be just as bad. I'm pretty sure we would have gotten this eye for an eye thing anyway. It's just...
Which I did not care about at all. Still.
You know, sometimes when you're watching Raw and SmackDown, I would either be, like, clicking on another tab. I would just be, like, you know, reading a book or something. I would just be playing video games and stuff, but just doing other things. Because, you know, Raw and SmackDown are just not the shows we know. Like, they weren't as entertaining as before. Besides, if you put 2004 Raw... and 2002 SmackDown in the same week, WWE would be generating 3 to 4 million viewers every single week, and everybody would be very invested in the company, that nobody would be talking about AEW. Besides, if WWE was at its all-time best right now, nobody, like, AEW wouldn't even, they wouldn't even have formed, like, they wouldn't have came into existence, because they capitalized when the iron was hot, WWE was bad, so... Then they came to provide an alternative thing to WWE. And besides, it's working out for them right now because their WWE is probably intentionally turning away their own audience.
I just feel like right now it's almost intentional with how bad this is. I feel like Vince is intentionally trying to destroy what he created. And it's like, I don't get it. Because it, like, at this point, dude, it's so bad, like I said, it almost seems intentional. Like, with the rate it's going at. Because there's no way you can be that incompetent that this would be this bad. Like, there's no way. Like, I can't even describe it, man. Like, I'm frustrated as a fan that I have to... Like, yes, I could leave and not watch, but it's, like, addicting. Like, you have to have that faith that it's going to get better, and you just don't know if it's going to or not. At this rate, I have no idea. I have no idea if it's going to get better. It's, I know Brian Alvarez said this last year, but could you imagine, let's say Vince, I think Vince is going to live another 20 years, okay?
He probably will.
And let's say Vince is going to run the WWE for the next 10 years. Vince is going to be 75, I believe, in August. Could you imagine, it's bad right now, but could you imagine 85-year-old Vince trying to keep the WWE pieced up together?
I would not want to see.
Like, could you imagine 85-year-old Vince McMahon in a board meeting trying to put together Raw and put together SmackDown and put together pay-per-views and put together everything else from the business side all simultaneously? 85-year-old Vince.
Even 90-year-old Vince would be worse. It's just, let's see, in 10 years, I will be 26 or 27. it's most likely 27 because my birthday is next week. And I would probably, like, I'm still watching WWE at the time because, of course, I'm going to keep up with it even though I'm growing up and, you know, stuff like that. Besides, if, God, they're going to do something really bad that's going to turn me away forever. And it's going to be that type of, like, it's just...
I just can't imagine 85-year-old Vince still trying to run the company. I just can't.
And you're going to be wrestling, right?
Yes. I don't know where, but yes, I will be wrestling. And I probably...
And you're going to look at the WWE, and if you're in New Japan by then, because from, like, 10 years from now, you're going to be, like, 29.
Yes.
So you're going to be in New Japan, and you're going to look at the WWE and say, I remember when I was a kid, and I remember I said, what the hell has happened to this company? It's just...
I just don't know, like, because, yes, like, I'm hoping... If the pandemic stops, I'm hoping to be in the ring next year. But even if I don't ever go there, it's like, even if I'm in the ring, I'm still a fan. So it's like, regardless, I just don't, even if I'm wrestling in the indies, like, and I look at WWE and I go, what has happened? I'm saying that right now, but imagine in 10 years, you're going to look at that company and go, what has happened to this place? It's just disintegrating bit by bit. It just is. And it sucks because this should be the best wrestling company in the world. It should be the best place to work, and it should be the greatest wrestling company in the world. Nobody should come close. Yet, even right now, they're behind Impact. They are. Like, they seriously are.
Mercy was better than Impact.
Like New Japan's ahead of them. AEW's ahead of them. Impact's ahead of them. Like, there's a lot of places right now ahead of them, and they should be untouchable. They really should be on a different universe compared to everybody else, but they're not.
Man.
Yeah, I don't get it, dude.
I don't either. Besides, you know, eventually I'm gonna stop tweeting about Raw and SmackDown, and it's just.
And word of advice, if there's any professional wrestlers listening to this. I'm not going to tell you to not sign there, but be careful. That's what I'm going to say. Because I can tell you right now, even if I ever, if they ever, I'm not saying they would ever approach me as a talent because I might not even be good enough. But if they ever did ever approach me as a talent, I would be super skeptical on signing.
If Vince McMahon is still there, yes. Then yeah.
If it was Hunter, I probably would go. But Vince... I can't imagine what 85-year-old Vince would do with me. I just can't. I don't want to imagine it. My initials are KD. Damn it, put him in a Kraft dinner box. You know, like...
I'm going to be shortened to K.
Like, I just don't... I'm not burying Vince. I'm just saying, like, I can't... I would be scared to know what 85-year-old Vince would do with Keegan Dimitrovic creatively. So it's like, ah, man. I don't think I could do it. Man,
besides, I'm not even willing to go into the business myself, because if I ever wanted to be a wrestler, then I would not ever sign with WWE.
How can you, dude? Like, how can you...
As a diehard fan, I would, like, even I have to admit, it's at its all-time worst, and I'm not really going to be that diehard fan anymore, because, you know...
It's hard to watch, dude. It's just so hard to watch, and I hate it because I want to love it. I want to love it, and I can't. Like I really want to love it, but I just can't. Passion's not there.
It's just not there for me anymore. God, it's just. I even saw a tweet a while back, and I can relate to this so much. It's about WWE too. He says it's really sad how I feel so disconnected at WWE these days. It's so crazy how ass their product is now compared to the product I grew up watching. I fucking love that company. It's just...
The Ruthless Aggression era was my favorite.
Yeah.
Because, sure. Like, it was just so much fun, man. Like, all the... Like, most of the storylines were excellent. There was always good matches. There was always a purpose to watch Raw and SmackDown. Like, there was...
Besides...
There was always at least two good reasons to watch Raw or SmackDown.
Like, besides, if there was no AEW, then I would be finished with wrestling. I would not come back. And if there was no New Japan either, then you would probably start your own promotion.
Probably. It would start from the ground up, though. But yeah, I would do it. If there was no other promotion, I would start my own. Whether good or bad, I would do it. There's got to be good wrestling somewhere, and if it's going to take some nobody from Windsor, Ontario, Canada to try and create his own business, then he's going to do it.
Man, but, you know, AEW is the one thing that really brought me back. I kept up with New Japan from time to time in 2018 and Ring of Honor too, but really AEW just really brought me back, and the first episode of Dynamite did too.
You know what? Before we go off air, I actually wanted to speak about Ring of Honor with you. So it looks like Ring of Honor is going to go down. At least that's how it looks like to me.
With the Marty Scurll allegations and the pandemic and their financial situation, it's really hard to say for Ring of Honor right now.
I don't think they should fold, though, because I think there's too much assets there. So I think AEW or WWE should try to purchase the assets. Listen, even if WWE just buys the library, I'm cool with it. Because then it gives everyone who's just in that WWE bubble, it gives them something else to watch. Right? Because I remember when I was in grade school, I was in grade 6, there was this one occasional teacher there, and he was like, it was like a teacher guard, like watching all the students at recess or whatever, and he was a big time wrestling fan, and he knew I was a wrestling fan, and he told me, he's like, what do you watch? So I watch WWE. This was like 2012, 2013 maybe. And he was like, WWE's fine. But he's like, watch Ring of Honor. Watch PWG. Watch these places. And I started watching those places and I got hooked. Because it was different. It was a whole different atmosphere. And I loved it. And I think with Ring of Honor, there's too much asset there to not buy. Like, I think buying their library would be huge for either company. Like, if AEW purchases Ring of Honor and they want to buy the library and AEW gets their own network eventually, that would be huge. But, like,
it would be. Yeah. Besides,
I can see WWE going to go buy their library, though. They've already approached them before about it.
If Ring of Honor does go down, then every wrestler is a free agent. Then there's no doubt that a lot of them would be in AEW.
Do you think WWE would just buy the library and not even just purchase the entire company? Or do you think they would just buy it all?
They would probably try and buy it all like they did with Evolve.
I knew they were going to buy Evolve. I still think they're going to go buy Progress and ICW too.
Like, you know, every wrestler from Evolve is a free agent now, and they're probably going to buy the contracts of the people who want to go to WWE.
Which I don't know how many there's going to be. But they're, I guess...
I know JD Drake is definitely not going there. And I know they just... With the recent allegations against Josh Briggs, he's not going to go there either. I do think that there's... Like... I don't know. And as for Ring of Honor, there's no doubt that... As for the Briscoes, they would never leave Ring of Honor. Like, they'll probably be there their whole careers. And if Ring of Honor does go down, they're either going to go to Impact or AEW. And besides, AEW doesn't need any more tag teams right now.
I think they'd be better in Impact for the time being, because AEW's tag division's already stacked enough. They're going to need to make freaking...
AEW doesn't need any more tag
teams. They're going to need to make a secondary freaking tag title for how stacked that roster is.
Yeah. Besides, as of now, if they were to leave, they would probably head to Impact. And if AEW's, like, interested, then they could probably go there for a little bit. But besides, for the guys in Ring of Honor that I do see in the WWE, actually, are Matt Taven, Dalton Castle.
Matt Sydal would probably go back.
Sydal would probably go back. He did Evolve for, like, a couple dates. You know what? Maybe Jonathan Gresham will go there. I don't know.
I don't think a lot of people are going to go, if I'm being honest, because
I know.
I don't think they'd fit in that system.
No, but guys like Matt Taven and Dalton Castle would go to NXT.
Dalton Castle would be fine.
Yeah, he would be. And Marty Scurll might be done. So, you know.
I think Ring of Honor is going to fold by the end of the year. I think. But
if they're not, I know Sinclair is not willing to put the company up for sale, and if they don't want to be sold, then they're going to fold completely.
I don't know. I mean, it's just wrestling has been bad this year. Except for,
it's been really bad.
Like, the pandemic's impacted everybody, but, like, I think AEW's done the best at adapting to it, and I'm looking forward to watching them tomorrow. On Wednesday. Is there any final thoughts before we go off the air?
Nah, that should be it.
All right, guys, thanks for watching. Sorry if this was a little bit of a burial. But, you know, it had to be said, but it also was said in respect as well. So, thank you. Thank you for watching.